We'll take a Bible and turn to 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, and the first verse. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, and starting with the first verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately bring in damnable heresies, each denying, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they feign words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let's pray together, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for all Thy blessings You give us in Christ Jesus. We thank You for the Word of God, and Lord, how You called out men to preach the truth, and as of old, You those that pen the truth and declared the truth from that time even unto this time, that we might be the church, the pillar and ground of truth, that others might truly see Jesus in us and the truth that we hold to, that we not sway from it nor detour from it in any way. We know that is the way of salvation, way of deliverance, way of worship. Everything that You've given us is instructed to, and given us instructions in Thy Word. We just pray for those without Christ, that You be pleased to save them, and the Lord, that You would edify the saints. We just thank Thee and praise Thee in Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. False teachers, and why does Simon say, but there were false prophets, and then he speaks of the false teachers now. This is just the way it is. Since time immemorial, if you will, there's been false teachers since the fall. And the greater the truth is taught and the faster it spreads, then we find the wicked one raises up comes against it in some great force also. And it says, as God's apostles and prophets were diminishing, God replaced them with evangelists and pastors and teachers. Satan, too, was sending out false prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, teachers, even apostles, and his army of men and women to mimic God's truth. And usually what they do, they just take the word of truth and twist it. Or they take a portion of the word and as if it's the whole Bible sometime, as if that's what their whole foundation is built upon, is maybe one little phrase and one particular passage in the scriptures, or they take things out of context and make them as seem as if this is one of the main teachings of God's Word. Satanic, I've called it nonsense, as in Israel's day, these brought confusion and deceived the weak and the faith of the faithful and deceived those that's coming to Christ, those with if you will, that would walk in the path of righteousness. Some of Satan's teachers are also claimed to be prophets, prophetess, and as there in Revelation 2:20, Jezebel, as the scripture calls her there. We live in a time of the explosion, if you will, of false teachers, false churches, and it's getting to the point where it's hard to find true churches and true teachers, and many that used to hold to the truth have been compromised. And I was thinking about this center of sensitivity that came in. It seemed, if you hear when they talk about it, it sounds good. You know, we don't want to, you know, we want people to hear the word of truth, and so we don't want to do anything and run them off and do this, that, and the other. And it seems like that's the way that, you know, that maybe the best way to grow a church, so on and so forth, but we remember that the apostles preached all the Word of God. They just didn't pick a little here and a little there and say, this is going to tickle your ears a little bit, and I hope you come back and hear me again next week. They preached the truth and let it fall where it would fall. And these false brethren are those God had not called and yet claimed to be God-called men. They claimed to have the anointing of God upon them. They usually claim themselves more anointed than God's true preachers and teachers and even God's people, or they just declare that those that God's called, that they're not really called at all. Because if they had the Spirit like they had the Spirit, well, then these people would be speaking in tongues, slain in the Spirit, and all these other things they claim are manifestations of salvation. And we don't see in the Scriptures that there needs to be any manifestation of salvation, that is, outward manifestation, as they're speaking of. There's a there is a manifestation that God brings into our life when you go from darkness to light. There's a change that takes place. But not necessarily that you fall down the ground groveling and doing different things as they do when they're slain and then are speaking in some unknown tongue. They, often knowing the truth, they deny and preach contrary to it. The three kinds, the main kinds of Christian churches that are present today, and they work salvation, that, if you will, that you have to do some work to be saved, or grace salvation, where it's all of God, and then the, I call it the hybrid salvation, where they declare to preach grace, but there's certain things you got to do to be saved, so it's really a work salvation. They just require less work than the true Arminians do. So only grace honors God and promotes Jesus Christ, the man's only hope. We do not call false those who God has called and have not come fully into the full fledge, if you will, of the truth. And I mean by that that I don't know how you was brought up. I was brought up in a, what I call two-point church. Somebody said, what is a two-point? Well, they just believe in depravity and security, and that's it. And they don't believe in anything else in between there. You take a step toward God. It's Arminian with 2 points. And but nonetheless, that's the way I was brought up until God brought me to the truth. Did that make me a false teacher and a false if you will, I was not preaching the truth as it as presented in the Word, if you will, then on the one hand, but on the other hand is what God is calling false teachers, false preachers, who were instruments of Satan. That was not true. And so there's those that are saved by God's amazing grace that have not fully received the full revelation, if you will, of God's Word, and there's things that they lack. And if we would all admit it, we have all lacked some things that we need to grow in wisdom and knowledge in. If you've become perfect, you know everything in the Word of God, then I don't think there's any place here for you because you don't have people like that. But nonetheless, it says we're going to be like Him when you see Him, and I think that's when we could say, and of course I think in continuing revelation even then. We do not call false those then that are need a fuller revelation or coming to the truth. Brother Clark, when I was coming out of the convention into the independent work, and I asked him later on, I mean, not at the first, because, you know, and then later on I said, well, you've seen how weak I was on the church. I said, why in the world did you, you know, give me support, help, and starting that work? And he said, anybody's coming to the truth, I help them all I can. Anybody going from the truth, I have nothing to do with them. And I thought about that a long time, and I've seen the wisdom in that, that those are coming to the truth. We're not putting hindrance in the way. So, well, you're really dumb on that thing. I mean, we know that's just the wrong thing to do. We bring them to the truth as long as God is bringing them to that and that their understanding be open. And they preach according to the light given them by God. There's nothing worse than a God-called deceived preacher. I recognize that. There are sermons I'd like to go back and take back, but you can't take them back once they go out of your mouth. Somebody said, well, you can correct it next time. You never can correct it. The same people might not be there, and if they are there, they may not hear what you're going to say, and if you say something to them, they'll remember what you said the time before. So once it's gone out, usually there's nothing that can be done about it. False teachers come in privately. The flamboyant false teacher is easy to spot. I mean, when they're going around spouting their foolishness and jumping up and down and shouting and telling all these different things, then you say, well, and you know, he may have a following, But you can just spot them right off the bat. I mean, they're easily seen and usually easy to spot. It's just those sneaky ones that you have a hard time spotting. They're the ones that comes in with smooth words, and they're the ones that agree with you. And they say, well, I kind of go this way or that way. And the next thing you know, they're bringing in their heresy. As in the early church, they might say, I think we need to obey the scriptures in circumcision. The Judaizers going through, they could take the word of God and show you here that if you, you know, if you come to God, that's one of the passages of circumcision. So to be the people of God, then that's one of the things that you'd have to do. And so we can see where the Judaizers could use the word of God and show history of hundreds of years of precedence that preceded that, and the apostles was preaching, you know, the Jesus Christ, you're not under law, but under grace, and that's one of the things that we confront the Armenians or others with. We're not under law, we're under grace. And so and they have other things. They speak of the law, and of course it's a work of salvation. Sometimes we make up our own laws. We can't find them in the scriptures, but we'll say, well, this is the way we think you ought to do it. If you're not doing that way, we don't think you're saved. And let me say to you, that's just as false as the other is. We're not to, if you will, reign over God's servants and teach each servant is true unto his own master, and that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to obey the scriptures then in following the Lord and preaching grace and understanding grace. And sometimes they'll say, well, we should pay attention to some particular teacher or theologian. And I don't know how many times in my early ministry especially, not so much my later ministry, but in my early ministry, all these television evangelists and they say, oh, you got to listen to this guy. You got to listen to that guy, you know. And they end up with some kind of work you're supposed to do, send them in $5, and, you know, you might get a healing. They'll send you a prayer cloth or such nonsense. I thought to myself, if they're following God, what do you even listen to these guys for? One lady said, she's talking about a Church of God priest, said he preached exactly like a Baptist. She was just really impressed with him. And I said, well, does he preach grace? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, does he preach you can be saved without being baptized? I said, can you be saved without even being in the church? She said, he don't preach that. He's a Church of God preacher. I mean, Christ preacher. I said, then he don't preach like a Baptist. And I know what she's talking about. He's just loud-mouthed, spitting preacher, and that's what she was saying. Well, that's the way a Baptist preaches. It might seem that we should pay attention to these, that some will promote and some will say how great they are, how many people listen to them, how many were saved at this crusade or this work or this, that, and the other. And sometimes we find there's little deviations in the truth. We say, well, look at all the people, God. You got to save so many people. I've never met, now there might be some, you probably met them, some of these crusades, they talk about having thousands saved and so on and so forth, and really grand crusades. And I was talked to one time, and this was not just one particular one. This was kind of a ongoing theme because they had been in Chicago in that area, and there was a lot of people made professions of faith. But anyway, we were not holy enough for them. They said, well, no, said, you know, the church is around here. And they said, you know, I get everything I need from the Billy Graham Association, you know. And I said, well, do you belong to any church? Well, there wasn't any churches in that whole area that were good enough for them. And I found this over and over and over again. And the point I'm making is if it doesn't lead to the things that God says it's supposed to lead to, then something's wrong with it in its foundation. Some deny the blood, redemption, lordship, and all in one way or the other. They deny Jesus Christ, deny the Bible, the inspiration. They put doubt on this or that or the other, and this is the way false teachers and preachers do, and especially those that are sneaky, because they will not say, just like I had a teacher say, this great theologian believed there wasn't need for a necessity for blood redemption. And somebody asked him, says, is that what you believe? No, I don't believe this, but this is what this great theologian thinks. And what was he saying? Well, he'd signed a piece of paper that said he believed in blood redemption. And to be a teacher there, he had to believe in blood redemption, but he could teach whatever he wanted to. And so this is the way they do. They come in with feigned words. And feigned words, some call them plastic words, fabricated, false, made up, invented, are things that you call one thing and use it in a different way than the scriptures do. When I was in the school, there was a lot going through this spiritual movement. It was nothing more than holiness, but it was in the Southern Baptist, so it wasn't holiness. It wasn't Pentecostal. They said it was just awareness of the Spirit. I heard these people preach, and when they spoke of the Spirit, it wasn't as we speak of the Spirit. It wasn't as you speak as the Scripture speaks of the Spirit. They'd either make him all-inclusive, in other words, no need of the Father or Son, or they would make him just a force or influence, as some others do. In their greed, they will cheat you by telling you made-up stories and calling them true. That's Lou now. There then came amongst us the Antichrist, false teachers. There in 1 John, it speaks of them. In the second chapter, in 18th verse, little children, it is last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there is many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from this, but if they were not but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would in no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So they come in, they, if you will, these Antichrists, and they're against Christ. They're really against the Word of God. They're promoting their self-religion or whatever it might be that they're promoting, but they come in and this is what they are. They're trying to destroy the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come in unawares. They're in the book of Jude 4. But for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I knew a preacher that was an adulterer. He was not just someone who had committed adultery. He was a continual, serial adulterer. And everybody talked about how wonderful a preacher he was. And they said, well, you heard Brother so-and-so, and they would talk about the message he preaches and so on and so forth. And everybody knew he was having extracurricular activity, or most everybody did. And I thought to myself, how could you praise a man that was given over lasciviousness? And he said, well, yeah, but he's preaching the truth, preacher. And somebody said, well, you just listen to this message, see if you can find something wrong with it. And I have to confess, I didn't find nothing wrong with it. But it's what he was teaching with his life. What he's pronouncing to everybody here, there, and thither, and near and far. And so this is the same kind that he's speaking of here. They're giving over to lasciviousness. They're giving over to wickedness, to sexuality. And they, if you will, by their conduct, destroy. I mean, usually most churches would discipline somebody, remove them from the church, take their name off the roll or something if they was this kind of person. But this man's pastor was a missionary and pastored several churches. their damnable heresies in Galatians 1, 6, and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, pretty simple. I mean, some say, well, we just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But what we believe about Jesus is important. That he is the Christ. He is the anointed, as a brother brought out in the Sunday school time. He is the anointed of God. And as the anointed of God, he is the promised Messiah, the promised one. He is the one who went to the cross at Calvary and died for our sins, paying our sin debt, and thereby, if you will, securing our salvation or in an eternal life forevermore. And the gospel is, as I said, very simple. Death, burial, somebody said, well, it's just death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, it's a little more than that. It's according to the Scriptures. I like that in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter when it speaks of the gospel there, and that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he rose again according third day according to the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures declare who the Christ is from the beginning to the end. And so you can find the gospel in Isaiah. You can find it in other places. It speaks of Messiah. Maybe not in all as Isaiah does or as the Gospels do or as the New Testament letters do, but it still yet it teaches us and points to him that will come who is the anointed of God. He was special born. He had no sin. Anytime anybody bring any accusations against Jesus Christ, they are corrupting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some will say, well, he kind of deceived people. And the one that had said this was a man that I had looked up for some time. He was an associational missionary. And there was a man of our church that the Lord saved him while I was there. And he was not upper crust. And they wanted upper crust people in that church. And as soon as we left, they forced him out. And he went and did join another church in that particular association. Association missionary was one of the teachers there in the church training. One of the things he taught him, that Jesus was deceptive. And I almost cried. I mean, really. And he was convinced of it. And when I tried to persuade him that it couldn't be so, because, you know, if you're conniving, that's sin. That's lying. He wasn't deceiving at all, but it took a passage of Scripture where Jesus feigned as if he'd gone on further. That's just good manners. And they said, oh, come in and eat with us. And Jesus, as after his resurrection, went in and eat with them. And as soon as he, if you remember, broke bread or said blessing with the bread, they realized who he was. He's not a deceiver. He doesn't use deception. He didn't in his earthly ministry, and he still doesn't do it now. If he was a deceiver and used deception, then we could get more people to join the church by deception. Say, well, you know, you just do this, you be saved, have eternal life, and be on your way to glory, you know. But no, they must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we say, well, why would people do all these things? You know, they have this work you do this, that, and the other, and you'll be in heaven. Because the glory goes to me. Look what I did. I've kept the commandments. I've done this. I've done that in some way, that way. Therefore, I'm going to heaven. But I'm going to heaven regardless if Jesus saves me. And so they twist the Word of God. They preach, print, easy-to-read Bibles. Some study Bibles full of errors, comments. Some are add false footnotes, short comments that give even false reference where the Scripture's talking about grace. They'll give a law cross-reference. I've seen that in one particular Bible, and I've seen it once and then twice, and I thought, I believe this is a continuing theme in this Bible, that where it's explicitly grace, they lead you to, if you use the footnotes and the cross reference, to law. And I thought, this is that deceptive or not? Somebody said, well, I like that translation, preacher. And, you know, I like this, that, and the other about it. But whether it's cross references or what it is, and by the way, that could be of the King James, so they could put erroneous cross references in it. At that case, it doesn't matter the translation, it's the other stuff they put in it. Study notes. When I was ordained the first time, they gave me a Scofield Bible. Yeah. And of course, right in the front of the Scofield Bible, when you get to Genesis, you get that gap in there. So I looked at that and I asked the pastor of that church if he believed in that gap. He said, no, he wasn't a gap theorist, as Scofield was. Well, Scofield had a lot of other things in there. But that was the most prestigious Bible at that time that, you know, a man was ordained. Sometime they'd give it to people who were teenagers and above. They'd give it to them if they made a profession of faith and give it when they baptized them and this type of thing. God does not send false anything in his name. False teachers give heed to demons and preach and preach without conscience. There in 1 Timothy. First Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, we live in a time where food becomes an issue. You know, the vegans, the vegans, the vegetarians, and so on and so forth. And some say, well, I just don't eat it because I don't, you know, I just prefer to eat vegetables. Well, that might be true. But if I give you a gift, you know, unless there's some reason, you know, health-wise or whatever, you can't use it or whatever, what is I just like throwing it back in your face? You know, just. And God said, these are a gift. This is given to us. And if we receive them with thanksgiving and prayer, then they are sanctified. They deceived and are deceived in 2 Timothy 3:13. This is always the result, I think, of false teachers. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And they start believing their own lies. They start believing what they're preaching is the truth. And they see miracles where there is no miracles. They see accomplishments where there is no accomplishments. And then they brag about them, write letters about them, and send them out to everybody that what great things they have done or accomplished. We must be careful who we who we read after. Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes us to err from the words of knowledge. Somebody says, well, I like to listen to this and this and that and so on. Let me say to you, anybody that doesn't preach the truth, why you even listen to them? And what are they doing? They're you hearing things and it's going to lead you to destruction. Oh, no, it wouldn't me. When we do things contrary to what God tells us to do, there is a consequence to it. And don't believe that you cannot be deceived. It's like somebody get into a sin and take them further than they wanted to go and cost them more than they wanted to pay. How is that? Because God allows it. God allows that presumptuous sin to take over. That's what David prayed, that God would keep him away from presumptuous sin, and not have dominion over him, there in Psalms 32. And this is the way God does. If we go contrary, he'll take us to the woodshed, but it's not you. Sometimes it's not like we think it's going to be. He takes us into a dark place and then brings the light back that we might learn to stay with the truth. we're not to entertain those things that are not true. They hid and hindered the word of God, and God's word in Romans 7:13 was that them which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. The word of God paints sin dark, never light. And we talk about little white lies. I searched the scripture one time and didn't find that. Little lies, insignificant lies, are big lies. Now, I had a Methodist tell me one time, he's talking about, you know, you sin, you lose your salvation until you repent. And then when you repent, then your salvation is restored. And so we was talking along that line. I said, well, what if you told the little white lion that died? You know, exaggerated on a fishing story or something. Died. He said, I don't think God put you in hell for any and forever for each and every sin. He said, the big sins. So I said, how big the lie has to be before it's big. But God don't categorize sin like that. He don't say, well, this is a little bitty one. This is a big one. Now, there are consequences. Some sins carry more consequences than others. But it's still, one sin is sufficient to send your soul to hell. And so, the Word makes sin exceeding sinful, makes its Savior glorious on the cross at Calvary, paying for those exceeding sinful sins. They hid sin or simply renamed sin and using other words for them. And I got the best one there is for that. Gay. You watch an old movie and they say, well, he's a gay man. And you say, well, I didn't know he was gay. And he's talking about he's happy. You know, and the old dialogues and so on and so forth. But nowadays, if you say someone's gay, you don't mean they're happy. We mean they're perverted. So they hijack words and make them mean another thing than they originally mean. And they do this in the Word of God. Isaiah 5:21, to them they call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They sometimes wrap it up in Bible verses. They wrap sin up and put Bible verses around it like, you know, and make it seem like that the Bible condones whatever it is. And you can see this on some of these different websites and things, church websites. They're doing things and they put scriptures to things. You think, how can they connect that scripture with this, what they're doing? You know, they got these hard rock guys out there, you know, and you can't tell what they're saying. You think, well, what are they saying? Nobody knows, you know. They just being led by the Spirit, you know, and people jumping up dancing and so on and so forth. And in those kind of churches, you don't even need the Bible. You really don't. You don't need, I mean, it doesn't matter translations or anything else. You don't really need them. They might use a psalm or something like that to get them started, and then they go through the routine. They sometime, as I mentioned, wrap this up. That's what the Judaizers did. They wrapped up their heresy in Scripture. You must become a Jew before you can be a Christian. I mean, that's what they were preaching and teaching. 2 Peter 3:16 is also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wretch, as they do also the other scripture unto their own destruction. It was just to their destruction, it would be bad enough, but it's not only to their destruction, it's to others' destruction, even destructions of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. They strengthen the wicked. They make the righteous sad, as mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, 13:19 and 22. He made the sad those whom God had not made sad, and made glad those whom God had made not made glad. Those that God was bringing a judgment for, they was making them happy in their sin. And sometimes this is the way it seems today, that those that are walking in sin, filled with sin, are the happiest. And they say, well, if anybody's going to heaven, surely I will, because I've done this, that, and the other. And they talk about their great achievements and not Jesus Christ. There was the false lawyers, you know, and theologians that take away the key of knowledge. There in Luke 11:52, woe unto the lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. I'm the theologian. I know what the Word of God said. You don't. You listen to me. Don't read the Bible now. You have to have me to read the Bible for you. And I'll tell you what it says and what it means. You say that still works? Yeah, it still works today. People depending on somebody else, not the Spirit of God, to instruct them in the Word of God. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, better to hear the rebuke of the wise than a man to hear the song of the foolish or fools. And so today, many are going to where the songs of fools are and not where the Word of God is. It's better to be rebuked by the Word of God than it is, if you will, to listen and play along with the tune of the fools. They must be made known in the church. Beware of false prophets in sheep's clothing. Jesus mentioned in Matthew 7:15, we must try the spirits, 1 John 4:1. 1 Timothy 9:19-20, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom Hymetrius and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Then there's Alexander the coppersmith. There's the Diotrephes in 3 John that have the preeminence in the church. We are trying to correct heresy or heretics, if you will, and a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. What does that mean by that? Well, that's a cause to divisions, what this word really means here, speaking of divisions, and usually, I believe, is connected with false doctrine. Some don't want to put that false doctrine with, but I think it's included in that, the knowledge are to teach them the correct. There are heresies, there are those things that are causing divisions, and usually it's division in truth, what the truth really is. Those that follow their pernicious and covetous ways. However, these evil people will get a following and causes the truth to be evil spoken of. They twist it, they make these people believe they have the absolute truth, sometimes secret truth. Maybe not like the Masons declare their secret truth, but that they know things about the Bible and about God you don't. And it's not found here. That's one of the keys when it's kind of like in between the lines. You know, it's one of those things, you got to read in between the lines. That's what the Gnostics did. They read in between the lines. That's what a lot of blasphemers do today. They read in between the lines. They add things to the Holy Spirit that the Bible never adds to Him. They give Him, if you will, preeminence where the Scriptures does not. He's come to speak of Christ and of the Father. And basically, Jesus says to show the things of Christ unto us. And so they blaspheme the way of truth. How many follow health, wealth, healing without seeing, experiencing, and tasting the effects of the health, wealth, and healing? That's one thing I have never understood. I know people that believed in that. They were solid in that, the health, wealth gospel. And so they believe in the health. If you're following God, you get health, you get wealth, and you'll prosper, you know, and you have a good welfare, you know. They got to take care of you and all your things. And I think to myself, here they're not being healed. they're not being, they're, most of them become, don't become any wealthier than anybody else, and they get sick like everybody else does. My uncle, he really was enthused with this guy, health, well, and gospel. He said, well, what do you, he's going to Evansville, and he said, he kept putting off. I thought, well, why don't we just get in the car and go to Evansville? He was going to the store over there, and finally, it come time to get there. What he wanted me to do, he listened to this evangelist on his radio. So he turned him on, you know, he goes like that, and he going on, and I said, you know, I think that guy's got a cold. I said, he said, well, I don't know. And finally he said, well, the devil fight me today with this flu, but I'm getting a victory. Well, I thought, well, he hadn't got it yet, because you could hear it on the radio. He was trying to do a good thing, but I mean, trying to cover it up well, but, I mean, it came out. And I said, well, I said, you think he's rich too? Or I said, he's got the health. And I said, do you think he's rich too? And I said, of course, if you send in money, he'll become rich, for sure. And he turned to a different station. The point I'm making is they ignore their own doctrine. If I said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you should be saved, and you should receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you didn't, that you didn't have the Spirit of God in, you didn't have, you wasn't born again, wasn't changed, you just like he was before. You said that to you, and you say, I believe it. Why would you believe it? It's not true if it's not working in you. If God saved you, been born again, then you can say that's true. That really happened in my life. But to say I've been made wealthy, healthy, and God will heal me of all my infirmities. And there you are. You got heart disease, diabetes, and you're not wealthy and all this other stuff, and say, I believe that. To me, what they believe is harder than what I believe. They have to deny reality in order to go along. And yes, some of them, you know, seem like they enjoy that kind of life, but majority of them don't. I had a guy tell me, says, now at the end of the service, because we didn't know it was a holiness service, we thought Southern Baptists, and he said, after the end of the service, we're going to have an altar call, and said, you can go down, if you got any kind of arthritis, you got any kind of pain, you got anything, so they'll heal you. He said, I've been healed 2 or 3 times with my arthritis. And I said, 2 or 3 times? He said, well, said, it comes back. I said, you know, when Jesus healed the blind man, he didn't become blind again. Yet be careful who you call a false teacher. Yes, those that had started out in the truth and have departed are false teachers. And the Bible's not afraid to name them that are false teachers. Some have never been taught the truth, yet hold to the basic tenets of the truth. And somebody says, where do you find that? I find it in Romans 14. And we're not going to read the whole chapter. Just read the first 4 verses. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not unto doubtful disputation. We're not to take in their heresy. We're not to take in their false beliefs, but we're to take them in. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth not. God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. And I do want to read the last 2 verses. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he that eateth not of faith for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You cannot force somebody to do something they don't believe is right, even though you know it's right. When somebody says that they think when they take the element in, it comes the devil. I thought, how could they take the Lord's Supper with wine? I mean, when they think they take wine in, it is the devil they're taking into their body. Now, I know they've been taught that from knee-high to a grasshopper, as the old saying goes, and they need to come to the truth, and that doesn't keep us from sharing with them truth, but we need to be careful how we share it. We need to be careful how we present it. We don't take the Bible and beat them over the head with it. Say, what are you talking about, unfermented wine? But on the one hand, on the other hand, we treat them like brothers that are in error. They are not the things that make one false believers or teachers. Ignorance of the Scriptures is not necessarily a false teacher. I've heard preachers at funerals that I thought, now where'd they get that from? And somebody said, well, he just started preaching. I thought, he's got a long way to go. Who here has full knowledge of the Word of God? Knows every jot and tittle and everything, understands every bit of it. False teachers are swirling all around us and on TV, radios, and print, internet, Facebook, emails. We must be able to discern and keep ourselves from these damnable heresies and not give any kind of credence to them whatsoever. We should be able to warn others of them. In this message, we have noted words like damnable, pernicious, destruction, or perdition, which all means ruin, nuisance, words like accursed, anathema, which mean also cursed or second death. They have no good end. Well, these false teachers are on their way to hell. Should we try to correct them if God grants us grace? Yes. But let me say to you, these men are as dedicated to Satan as you are to Jesus Christ. They may not know it's Satan they're dedicated to. That's the difference. We know who we're dedicated to. They might not know what Satan they're dedicated to, but they're just as dedicated in their lives. Has God called them to go where they come from another among us, and that we should depart from the faith? How many have given heed to seducing spirits? Is it that they have knowledge of salvation but are blind to the rest? Be careful who you call a false preacher or teacher. But those who approve themselves to be, there's nothing wrong in it. The Scripture names them. Sometimes I think it's like Paul was warning Timothy, the coppersmith. I can't remember, Alexander the coppersmith done me much harm. And so sometime we need to warn one another of those that's really a hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ.